True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, it is Patriots Monday, and we are at Gillette Stadium, and Mike Vrabel, the head coach of the New England Patriots, is brought to you this week by Northeast Men's Health, the experts in treating men's sexual health with six New England offices, or at northeastmenshealth.com, by John Sewer and Drain Cleaning, the name to know when your drains won't flow, and by Northeastern Savings Bank, the leading financial option for New England businesses and the families that power them. Northeastern Savings Bank, upgrade to local member DIF FDIC. Good morning, Coach.
Good morning.
Not the way you drew it up, as they say yesterday.
No. But, I mean, obviously, we're going to have to get some things fixed, and we'll have to, start to look at just being able to take advantage of the opportunities when they're there. And we talked about some keys, and I don't know that we all really executed them on all three levels. There's some good, and there's some bad, and there's always the stuff that gets you beat.
Top to bottom. So coaching.
Yeah, I mean, that's always what it's going to be, and we just have to do a better job of understanding, about winning the second half in some of these games that are close and just getting off to a better start. And, defensively, we settled down. We had three and outs, and we only came away with 3 points. So that is not very complimentary football, and it's disappointing if you're able to do that. We have to be able to put some more points on the board. And then obviously the X plays that we gave up on defense and some of the penalties and things that cost us on special teams. But we hit a good kickoff return that gave us good field position. That got us going on and things that we can build on throughout the game.
Mike, you say coaching better. Take us into the mindset a little bit. It's 3rd and 20. And you seem like you're a little bit aggressive there, which leads to a long play. I know Davis bites on the slant and go. Why not play coverage in that situation?
Well, just still trying to be aggressive and trying to, force a mistake and probably have to play off. And again, just catch and tackle and rally. But we feel like being aggressive right there is what allowed us to get into 3rd and 20. And, just situationally being able to, get the guys off, everybody looking at the football, and then we know what it's going to be, and it's going to have to be a catch tackle, but with just trying to make a play and trying to be aggressive in that situation.
When it comes to Drake May, last season he had an issue with trying to force plays to make something happen. Did you see any issues with that yesterday? Did that lead to any of the times where he threw the ball away or maybe put them in a tough position, the interception, of course?
Well, yeah, I thought he was bumped a little bit. We've got to get into these routes and get spacing. And then obviously if the quarterback gets hit, bad things happen, right? Turnovers happen or they get hurt eventually. And that's kind of what I've always said with quarterback gets hit. So I thought he had some really good decisions. I thought he was accurate at times. And then I thought there was some misses. That's how it goes. I thought we protected, for the most part, fairly well. It was never perfect. never will be, but I thought there were some clean pockets and, you know, against a few really good pass rushers.
Just pull this a little closer.
Sorry.
You're cutting in and out here and there, and everybody wants to hear every word you say.
Sorry.
But he threw the ball 46 times. Is that ideal?
No. No, that's, you know, I mean, I think that the way that the game went and where we had to be in the down two possessions, we have to be much more balanced. We have to run the football better, more consistently, so that some of these play pass opportunities show up. I thought you saw some good examples of that, whether that was some movement plays by Drake down in the red zone, that, you know, just a flip the hoop and he's able to gain 10 yards. And there's some of those examples, but just, you know, being able to run it more consistently will help us with some of those plays.
What did you think of Will Campbell, his first regular season?
Yeah, I thought I thought it was steady. I thought there were some good plays. I don't think there were any, you know, the couple movement times in a run game, him and Jared might have got disjointed. But I thought that they, you know, played okay on the left side. I think it was a good place to start for two rookies, playing their first game on the left side of the line. I didn't think it was
penalty costly when you have that four.
Yeah, I mean, again, taking that out, you know, I'm talking about the course of the game. Yeah, mistake and you know, critical situational football. Yes, but I'm just looking at the overall body of work that it didn't look like they were overwhelmed with a 21 and a 22-year-old on the left side of the line.
Penalties, are you happy with? I mean, you're
we had a couple on special teams. We had, you know, defensively, there were a few. It was less than ideal, I think, with penalties. We had a couple, you know, the ones on the kickoff return and the punt return are real costly. They chew up so much yardage and take you back. Can't start drives on the 12-yard line and, you know, expect to go 90 yards every single time.
Drake's performance yesterday was not up to the standard, I think, that fans and media had expected from him. It feels, from my perspective, that the organization's gone out of its way to make Drake comfortable as opposed to try and get the most out of him. Whether you think four series in the preseason, you trade the guy that was backing him up last year. Do you think Drake is being pushed enough to be great? And do you think does the culture of this organization and the losing they've been a part of the last several years, does that impact a young guy like Drake May trying to take over?
Man, that was a long question. Just can you shorten it down for me? Because I promise you, I'm trying to get the best out of every player. But that was just a lot there for me to unpack.
Are you concerned at all about how important it is for Drake May to win? Do you think it's the most important thing for him?
God, I hope so. I mean, I hope winning is as important for everybody. And I want the best from everybody. I want a competitive spirit. And if I don't see that, you know, then we'll have to make decisions and changes at every level. I don't see that. I think that he wants to be at times perfect. And I need to get past that. We all have to get past that. You need to be precise and not perfect. And if you make a mistake, it's the reaction that you have to the mistake that everybody sees. And then they're like, oh, wow, that was a mistake. We have to clean our reactions up. You know, our responses have to be much better. And then getting into the flow because you see really good timing and precision and accuracy. And then we see some other misses. But, I don't ever concern myself with that. I just want the better performance, more consistent, and continue to grow as a leader and make sure that there is a command to what we're doing, that this is the situation, this is the play. Those are the things that I'm focused on.
Mike, help me understand, because I'm sitting here 4th and 5, inside 5 minutes, you guys decide to punt the football down by 10. When I'm thinking in that situation, you guys are clearly going to go for it.
But obviously, we were going for it on 4th and 5, and then it goes to 4th and 10. And then now I think those numbers changed drastically.
Sorry, it was 4th and 5. It never went to 4th and 10. Excuse me, but it was 4th and 5, and you did punt. So it never went to 4th and 10.
We false started, and it went to 4th and 10.
Oh, did it? Okay, I'm sorry about that.
So we were on the ball going for it, and that was the penalty that he alluded to.
Okay.
Right after the strip sack.
Yeah, okay.
And again, just trying to – again, you don't want to be in those situations. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a percentage of the fourth and 10. There's a percentage that you kick it, and you don't want to kick it 21 yards, and you don't want to give up an X play and all that other stuff. So, again, whatever decision that we go with, the steps along the way have to be perfect when you're down two scores. And that's if we go for it, we still have to go and, you know, kick a field goal or score a touchdown and then get the ball back. And I was trying to just pin him back, be aggressive, get the ball back and give us a chance to do something. And that clearly didn't happen. There were some good plays. I thought we moved with some urgency to get down there. It was cool to see, you know, Andy make a kick and come back after he missed. So it's a lot of good things. And then we just have to, you know, we got to embrace moving on and learning from this and doing it quickly. This league doesn't rest for you. It doesn't wait around.
You called it a game of missed opportunities. Is that what you expect with young guys in general? And how do you make sure that they're able to move on from a loss like that?
Oh, well, I don't. That's not what I expect. I would want to be clear there. I don't think anybody expects that. And we'll see. I think just how we take the coaching and how we come in and the leadership that we have. I talked about that. We'll start to see where that shakes out. And, you know, but I'm confident that these guys will come back. And again, the young guys that we have to get, it was young guys, it was veterans, it's going to be every one of us and not just the rookies or the second year players. It's everybody at all levels working together. And I think you can show them the examples of when it did look good and then the examples of, you know, hey, we're just not. We're a little disjointed here, or we're not communicating, or we gave up too many X plays, and these were the keys that we had talked about coming into the game.
On Saturday night, Bill Belichick addressed the story that scouts from the Patriots were not allowed onto the campus to scout the Tar Heels. He said that he's not welcome here, so why would he allow Patriots employees onto his campus? Is Bill Belichick welcome here? And were you surprised that he didn't allow the scouts onto campus to scout his players?
Again, nothing surprises me. I would imagine that that Bill, I mean, he came back for the best of my knowledge, Tom's ceremony, so that he's welcome back based on the fact that he was there. So I'll just go by that. Since his departure as the head coach here, he's been back, and I'll leave it at that.
Has he maybe been out shopping or something at Patriot Place and not allowed to walk? Does his key card still work?
When you get fired, the key card does not work. I tried it. I went back to Tennessee. It doesn't work.
No, they call that a Mancini.
No, the fingerprint doesn't work. The key card doesn't work. No, that's not how it happens.
Chance you get Christian Gonzalez back?
We'll see. He's working extremely hard. I know that, you know. We'll get him in here on a Monday today and evaluate him and see where he goes. And, you know, Christian is working hard and he wants to be back. I do know that.
I got to always ask these questions every week. Temperament, Steph Diggs, not that involved yesterday. He okay afterwards? Feel good about where he's at?
Yeah, I saw some energy from him. I saw some passion. And, you know, everybody just wants to win. And I don't think that he's too caught up on production. I think that we want to win and that make the plays that we're supposed to make. And when the ball comes to you and finds you, you know, we have to be able to do something with it. That's how this thing goes.
Well, Mike, I would say one area where you guys really looked good was your ability to get after the quarterback. Talk a little bit about, you know, what that means, especially for your front seven, that when you can create pressure and make a quarterback uncomfortable, what that means for the team.
Well, I mean, I think that the more times that you're able to pressure the quarterback, just like we talked about with Drake or when getting hit, the more that you can hit a quarterback, you know, obviously that can lead to turnovers and hopefully, you know, that's the quarterbacks accounted for 65% of all the fumbles last year in the National Football League. So that's the number one target to try to get the ball away from, to be able to hit in the pocket or as he's scrambling or whatever it may be. So, you know, that was good to see. We need to, if we pressure him, we need to be able to tip some passes. We need some pass rush PBUs, and ball production is really what we're looking for. And I'm glad that we were able to hit him the times that we hit him and sack him, but we got to take the next step to get the ball out.
Real game action for Travion Henderson. How do you feel like he fared?
Well, I think we got to give him some space. I think that there were a few times where you know, maybe he should have gone, maybe one time on a screen, he probably should have kept it outside instead of, you know, rush, you know, cutting it back inside. But, you know, I thought Travion tried to play fast, and, you know, we got to open up some holes on the kickoff return too. We got to use that as a weapon and try to be better there. We were much better in preseason than we were yesterday. We had the one good one, but not consistent enough. And, you know, Travion's, you know, going to keep working, and he'll be a big part of what we do.
Max Crosby kind of hit Drake May, barely hit him out of bounds, then made the hands to the eyes crying emotion. Was that directed at you?
I don't know. I Max
you,
and I
were you ready to throw if you had to?
No, I didn't even notice okay. that Max did that.
No. Okay. We don't care about that.
No, I don't.
No, we don't care about any of that.
Well, you talk about the run game and wanting to get more out of it. What do you think kind of took away from that? Because the score was relatively close. Do you feel like it was maybe you just got to stay after it more? Do you feel like you kind of lean on the pass a little bit?
Yeah, I think the better that we are able to move it and not just gain a yard or two. I mean, I think that you have to have a flow. I mean, you got to see some space. You know, you got to give the runner some space, and you have to be able to move the line of scrimmage. And, you know, they play a defense, and there's a guy in every gap. And if you don't move them or you don't create some space, there's going to be a wall. So, you know, we had a couple glimpses and they were moving, but when they move, we got to take advantage of that as well and try to come off and climb to the second level. So we'll need a more consistent and just fine-tuned run plan that we believe in, and you know, quit worrying about some things like, you know, hey, they're in this front, we can't run this. Well, maybe we can, and we'll get back to the basics and trying to move people off the ball and give our back some space to run, and then we'll have to go get the support, and receivers will be a part of that as well.
On to Miami. They didn't look so great yesterday. What issues does that team create?
Well, it's always been a fast team. It's always been a very fast-paced offense with their skill players and what they do. The quarterback, when in rhythm, has been very accurate. We'll have to disrupt the timing of him. We'll have to go on the road. This will be our first regular season game on the road going down there in a division opponent. So I would expect a very challenging and difficult game, and one that we'll have to find a way to win in the fourth quarter.
Do you agree with Wiggy, must win?
No, I don't know. I mean, again, I like to think that they're all
everyone's a must win.
Right.
If you look at it like that, you know, that we'd only get so many opportunities. And we only get so many opportunities to win and continue to improve. It is a must improve week, and I think that when you do that, then that will lead to victories.
Or you seem calm and collected after a loss. You're not a throw things around the office guy.
It would be really, you know, my demeanor and what I do, I think, is it would be a reflection of everybody else in here around the building. And I'm pretty sure everybody feels bad. It's not going to do any good for me to start throwing everything around. I'm sure everybody else, they don't need me to feel worse. Yeah. I think that everybody wants to win. They put a lot into it. We want to win for the players. We want to win for our fans that have supported us, and that's our job, and that's what we're going to continue to try to do.
Good crowd yesterday.
I want to be able to thank them when they're loud on third down and we get a stop and we win the football game and we make it hard on the other team, but you know, we weren't able to win. But yes, it was great to see even in the rain and everybody out there very appreciative of that. I appreciate you mentioning that.
Well, you got, like you said, you got some young guys in the must win. The importance of, obviously, the conference games and now a divisional game, you know, getting some of these young guys.
How big those are on the road,
Getting some of these young guys to understand that, you know, some of these guys come from college and they don't know the magnitude. What's some of your, I guess, you know, tips or what you'd be telling some of those young guys about the importance of the divisional games?
Well, I think that's where, you know, that you can steal, when you steal some divisional games on the road, you really have a chance, you know, to make up some ground, because you know, that's the fastest way into the playoffs is by winning your division. And maybe they don't quite understand that, like you said. And so, you know, just showing them how you percentage, you know, I mean, I'll look up the percentages of the road road wins inside the division and how that leads to success later on down the year. But really, I think we're going to focus on making a corrections here today. And then I think when we come in on Wednesday, really have a concrete plan on letting these guys understand the division and what the road games mean and the road environment and all these different things that we have to talk about.
Do you think the second half was in any way a reflection of a lighter camp? A big storyline post-game was the team had not as many players playing preseason, not as much hitting as last year, and then the second half fall off. Does that have any relation?
No, I don't think so. I mean, we started driving. They threw an interception, and they scored. So I don't really think it did. I thought we've had the last 2 weeks. I mean, we've practiced over 30 times. We had three joint practices, an inter-squad scrimmage. You know, that's the history of the football team. We just didn't do enough in the second half, and I don't think that did. It's certainly anybody's opinion. I don't, but I'm just telling you how it went. You know, we got a couple first downs, and I thought it was great that we got a couple first downs. We started on the 12-yard line. We had a penalty on kickoff return. I don't know if that had anything to do with it, but we started driving the football through a pick, and they scored. So that's really, to me, how the second half started. And then it was kind of, we traded back and forth, and then we got into the action late and kicked the field goal. And, you know, but that was the disappointing part, just as the emphasis that we made on the second half for the last, 2 weeks since we were, you know, starting on the Raiders, of just how many of these games were going to be one score games and how many come down to the second half, and the team that was going to be able to, you know, come out and do it. That's kind of how the game went. We just weren't the team that was able to win the second half.
Go ahead.
Booty had a good game. I just wanted to ask, because we were all holding our breath when he went out briefly, what did he bang up in the very beginning of the game, and were you impressed with the way in which he came back?
I mean, he's had a great camp, and he's done a great job. So I'm not going to get into injuries or anything that they were looking at, but he was evaluated, and then he was able to go back into the game. So he did a nice job. He's put a lot into it. It's good to see him get the reward for working hard.
All right, we'll let you get to work this morning.
Okay, guys, I really appreciate it.
Good luck, man. Thank you for taking the time. Coach Vrabel and the conversation with the coach brought to you by Cross Insurance. Cross Insurance, official insurance broker of the New England Patriots.
But we mentioned it's a Patriots Monday. We're joined right now by Patriots tight end Hunter Henry. He's brought to you by Drains by James, Eastern Mass's top provider of drain and sewer cleaning and repair, by Shaw's and Star Market. Go shopping and get rewarded. And by Verizon, the New England Patriots, powered by Verizon 5G. Hunter Henry, thanks for joining us here on a Patriots Monday.
Hey, guys.
What happened in the second half yesterday, Hunter? You guys seemed like you were rolling a little bit in half number one. You came out with a turnover to start the second half. The offense had trouble getting on track after that. What happened in the second half?
Not great execution, obviously. We just got to be a lot better. And wasn't good enough at all. And we're going to learn from it and have to move on and get better from it.
Were the Raiders doing anything differently that you guys maybe weren't prepared for?
They did a good job. I got to give them credit. They played well and were able to, exploit some things. I mean, we got to clean some things up. That's what comes with the first game and everything and getting out there. But we just need to be better as all around, especially myself and everybody else looking at themselves and just what they can do to be better. We got to give credit to the Raiders, too. They definitely, did some good things.
As a captain, and you were voted a captain this season for the third straight year. As a captain, what's the message after a week one loss like that at home?
Yeah, I mean, obviously it's tough, not what we want, but we got to learn from it fast and move on because we have a lot of games in front of us. It is just one game. Every game is important, but we got to move on from it fast because we got a big game this week, against Miami, a divisional opponent on the road. It's big, so we got to be able ready to go to work and bounce back because we have a lot of games in front of us.
A lot of eyes were on the offensive line going into this one with a couple of rookies starting. How do you think the offensive line performed yesterday?
I thought overall good. I mean, obviously we threw the ball a ton, so there was a lot of pass protecting and a lot of things, you know, different looks and different things, and felt like competed really well at a high level, and, you know, just excited to continue to build on it, get better from it, learn a lot of things today just about ourselves and what we can do to get better moving forward.
A lot of expectations for Drake May in year number two. He threw for 287. He threw for a touchdown. We had another pick, a near strip sack as well. What did you think of Drake yesterday?
I thought Drake did some good things. The things we got to improve on. We got to be better for him in different, you know, in certain situations. So, you know, what can we do? That's mainly what I look at is what can I do to, you know, be better for him, to make things a little bit more, you know, easier or comfortable or whatever it is. But overall, you know, Drake's a great competitor. He's going to learn a lot from just the film and everything that we have, you know, we did yesterday, and be able to be better going forward.
How was the field yesterday? I saw a couple slip and falls on both sides of it, but how was the playing surface yesterday?
It was fine.
Yeah. No excuses. Genty wiped out on one. He tackled himself on one play. Yeah.
He did. That is true. Well, it'll be a different challenge down in Miami in the heat with the Dolphins here in week two. Before we get to that, though, Hunter, you gave us what I thought was a pretty good idea.
Yeah.
Last week. We were having some fun. We kept asking you about how surprised you were and surprising questions. So you gave us the idea to come up with the Hunter Henry surprise question of the week.
Yeah, and if you could, answer on a scale of 1 to 85. 85 being the most surprised you've ever been, 1 being you're not surprised at all. And we'll ask you a different question each week. Let's get to it, Nick.
It's time for the Hunter Henry surprise.
Henry, touchdown. Whoa.
Surprise, Sydney.
Hey, surprise.
Surprise, motherfucker.
Surprise. We wasted the good surprise on you.
Golly, y'all digging for the surprise in the day, huh?
Question of the week.
All right, Hunter Henry, how surprised were you when you found out Bruce Willis was dead the whole time in The Sixth Sense?
Guys, what are we doing?
1 to 85.
Okay, I don't know, man. 40.
40.
Okay. I was surprised.
And that was the Hunter Henry surprise question of the week.
All right, pretty good. 40.
I don't know if M. Night Shyamalan's going to like that answer. I was way more surprised.
That was a bigger twist than I would give it credit for. Hunter, we'll do that again next week. Yeah. Thanks so much for taking the time here on Jones and Keefe.
All right, guys.
All right. Thank you.
Hunter Henry joining us every week on a Patriots Monday.
That went great. 40. That's one of the big twists in the history of cinema, Jones.
True North convenience stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and sugar-free. First-round picks like watermelon, wild berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab 3 of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Patriots Monday, and joining us on the phone lines now is Drake May, the quarterback of the New England Patriots. He is brought to you by Northeast Men's Health, the experts in treating men's sexual health with 6 New England offices or at northeastmenshealth.com. By John Sewer and Drain Cleaning, the name to know when your drains don't flow. Drake May, how are we doing today?
What's going on? How y'all doing?
We're okay. If we look at yesterday's, obviously you're disappointed, fans are disappointed, Coach Vrabel's disappointed. If we look back at yesterday's loss,
How do you sort of summarize your performance and what the offense was able to do and to not do in the losing effort?
Yeah, I think just from my standpoint, just got to be better. I think got to find a way to establish the run game, get the run game going, and then from there in the passing game, I feel like at times we moved it well and kind of we're in a rhythm, kind of moving the ball down the field, and then whether it's in the red zone or on third down or just being more accurate, just finding ways to kind of keep drives alive and put up seven instead of having to settle for a field goal or getting stopped on third down.
So, Drake, early on it seemed like you had some success. You had that nice drive culminating in a touchdown to Pop in the end zone. Guys even went into the halftime up a field goal. And then it seemed like the Raiders were able to sort of get into your face and kind of blow up the plan, blow up some of your plans a little bit more in the second half. Did they do anything different than what you guys expected yesterday?
I wouldn't say that. I think you always, you know, it's the first game, so you're always expecting you know, some unscouted stuff or some stuff that if it doesn't show up in the preseason. That's what, you know, that's how the NFL is. Stuff shows up that you may not have known. And I think, you know, from that one, I think they just adjusted at halftime. And I think we did a better job coming out of half of adjusting ourselves and really not even adjusting, just executing. I wouldn't say adjusting, just executing. And that starts with me and those guys. So from there, making some throws. And I think on the interception, you know, there's plays you want to have back, you know, from there. And that next drive, the first play, I missed Hunt over the middle. So just things like that you wish you had back, and it's going to be like that every game. So just got to be better. And just one of those things where you can't look back at it now and wish you got to do it then.
You referenced the interception. You guys were driving, and that was clearly a key point in the game. Now that you've gone back, watched it on tape, do you feel like that was a miss on your part? How much of a factor was the pressure and not being able to step up? Kind of take us through what you think happened there.
Yeah, I think it's part of this league is making throws or getting hit. And I think, you know, whether it's, you know, I think I had digs open and just I need to follow through. And, you know, from there, it's just the times when this happens where I can maybe go make a play instead of, you know, stepping up there or maybe settling back at the pocket more and not stepping up into it. So, yeah, I think just unfortunate and I wouldn't say it's a miss. I feel like if I had it back, you know, it's like I said, just try to, you know, follow through more or don't kind of step up and allow myself to get affected by D-line, whoever was coming in.
Drake, I think at one point during your post-game presser yesterday, you talked about, I think the phrase was, let it rip. You want to figure out a way to like get more comfortable and just make a decision and play free and let it rip. What do you think it's, what's it going to take for you to be able to be as comfortable as you can to let it rip and not maybe overthink sometimes on these plays?
I think just continue to get a feel for these guys. I think you got new guys out there playing with them. Just kind of get more comfortable each week. And it's like guys did a nice job when the ball came their way of making plays, and just got to keep on getting reps and practicing and seeing the stuff in the that shows up in the game. You'll kind of fine tune it in practice and realize that it could show up again.
Patriots quarterback Drake May here on WEEI Afternoons on a Patriots Monday. Drake, earlier today on the Greg Hill Show, Mike Vrabel was asked if there was a chance that they were putting too much on your plate. First year, Josh McDaniels' system, which asks a lot of the quarterback, and he said we'll have to figure that out. Do you feel like right now maybe you're overwhelmed or they're putting too much, quote-unquote, on your plate?
I wouldn't say that. I think at the end of the day, I mean, you know, playing quarterback in the NFL, there's going to be a lot on your plate, you know, no matter what team you play for. So just being better as a group of, you know, better in details and better at, you know, establishing the run game and playing off the run game. And then in the passing, I feel like I saw it well, and those guys blocked well up front just to make some more throws. And from there, just, you know, kind of find ways, like I said, to extend drives and score seven when we get down in the red zone. That's a big thing. But, no, I wouldn't say. I think I'm ready for it, and I think I'll get more and more comfortable each week, you know, as I play in this offense.
So it was a big day for the offensive line. Two rookies obviously starting in front of you, and Jared Wilson at left guard, and Will Campbell over there at left tackle. How'd you think they did yesterday, and what kind of communication did you guys have during the game and afterwards?
Yeah, I mean, I think the biggest thing, they played hard. I think they, they blocked hard, and they want to be good, and they want to, play well. I think that's the biggest thing I see with those guys. And just trying to, like I said, kind of live through the same experience they did last year being a rookie. You know, I think they kind of get it a little earlier than I did being out there week one and get a feel for it. So just remind them it's a long season and
Just attacked a new week. But, you know, I thought those guys, you know, blocked well and played hard, and I got the ultimate trust in those guys on the left side.
Drake, you said something in your press conference last week that I thought was really interesting. You said sometimes it feels like quarterbacks are just gifted the captaincy, and you don't want that to be the case. You were voted by your teammates, and you want to go prove that you're worthy of that. How do you do that this week? I mean, you're coming off a loss. Coach Vrabel was talking about seeing how this team and its leaders react. As a captain, Drake May, what's your role doing that this week?
Yeah, I think it starts this week in practice. You know, start showing up and having a giddy up to it, and practicing well, and goes out there on Sunday and playing well. I think that's what kind of gets these guys respect the most, is keep working, and it's a long season ahead, and just know that coming in here, I'm gonna work every day, and just kind of bring guys along with me and challenge guys and challenge our guys on offense to be more detailed and depth on routes and pass game inside out and stuff like that that just shows up in the game. So just starts with me just this week in practice and carry into the game.
Earlier today on our station, your teammate Christian Ellis said that after a loss, he has a very hard time sleeping. As a matter of fact, he might have slept 2.5-3 hours. He said, woke up, rewatched the film several times, watched a little bit of the game last night in Buffalo, then watched your game tape again. What's the post game process for you like in defeat?
Yeah, I think just whenever the film comes out, I love taking a quick look at it. And then, I think it's tough. It's hard to kind of, especially after a loss, to kind of go about your day and not think about the game or think what I could have done better. So, it's tough. I take a look at the plays and text guys if I thought I did a good job and text guys that need some encouragement and talk with coach, that night, and then come back in the morning and take a look at it with the team. And then, from there, try to move on to next week, this Monday and get back at it.
You mentioned earlier that as an NFL quarterback, there's always going to be a lot on your plate. Have you accepted the way people sort of micro-analyze everything you do, whether it's media, fans, even your coaches? Make sure you celebrate the right way. Make sure you react the right way to an interception. Have you accepted that sort of microscopic over-analysis of everything you do?
I think that's just part of playing this position. I think there's a lot that comes with it, and I think at the end of the day, I can, the best thing to do is move forward, have a positive attitude, and like I said, just know that eyes are on me at all times. I think whether it's players or teammates or coaches or fans, they want to see me play well, and they're pulling for me hard. So best I can do is try to be my best out there, week in and week out.
Drake, obviously next week you are moving on to Miami. They had a very tough one yesterday out in Indianapolis. Tough one for you last year in Miami as well. What do you guys see in the Dolphins, and what are you guys going to need to do to get ready to go to Miami and hopefully get your first win in the season and a big win in the AFC East?
Yeah, I think it's a division opponent. Anytime you're playing a division opponent, it means something. It means something a little extra, and we play them, another time later this year. So try to get a good grasp of them. You don't have much film, as you do with teams later on in the year, but you got a week of them playing a real game, and you got a week of their personnel and some preseason games of what they like to do. So take a look back at what they did against me last year and watch that game. And then from there, I think working on ourselves at practice out there and don't overthink it and get a good grasp of what they do and then try to do what we do at a high level.
Drake May here with us on WEEI Afternoons on a Patriots Monday. Drake, this is going to sound like a weird question, but it's a topic that has come up. How much do you want to win? There are people out there that are wondering, are you like, do you have the killer instinct to win? How much do you want to win in the NFL?
Shoot, I mean, that's why I play the game. You play the game to win, and that's what we're all spending so much time doing, winning. I think losing is the opportunity to learn from it and build it, but shoot, winning is the ultimate goal playing this game, and that's what you play for, to win Super Bowls, and it starts with us with winning each week, and I wouldn't be doing anything for anything else besides winning.
Okay, now I feel it's my job to ask you a more lighthearted question coming off of a tough spot one like that, but someone had asked Mike Vrabel about that earlier on the day. So now you're about a Carolina guy, a year and a half into your New England residency. What's your favorite and least favorite thing about living in New England thus far, Drake?
Ooh, favorite thing? That's a good question. I think just kind of the just how they embrace. I think they embrace, you know, us players in New England. I think that's probably my favorite thing. They, you know, the hard, they love football. They love the Patriots, and they pull for us hard, and it's a very sports-driven city. I think that's one of the best things about Boston. I think the history of Boston is pretty cool. And then least favorite, nothing too much. You know, I think it gets colder than where I'm from, but the cold doesn't really bother me. But
traffic, maybe?
Yeah, maybe the traffic. Yeah, there you go. That's a good one. Maybe the tunnels. Probably the traffic in the tunnels is the worst. You don't get – your phone doesn't work under there either. So,
were you surprised – you mentioned the fans and how big a sports city it is. I've talked to players in the past that came from other NFL cities, and I know you don't have a comp in the NFL, but were you surprised just how much media attention there is, how many reporters there are at training camp practices, how many fans there are, just sort of that attention to every day of Patriots work that's put on you guys?
Yeah, I think that's what they built in their past. I think that's what they built here. I think the how much, you know, attention and eyes were put on because of how successful they were and the Super Bowls that they won. So, I think that comes with being a Patriot, and it comes with this city. They love winning, and you know, they expect to win. I think that's what we're all building towards. And shoot, I think, you know, I've said it in the past, I think at a point you get tired of losing, and I think just trying to get the win column is, you know, each week is our mindset.
Obviously, there are a lot of people that you probably get comped to in the NFL or in recent professional football, but is there anyone, I don't think we've ever had a chance to ask you this, is there anyone you model your game after or that you most try to emulate with your style of play in your game?
No. I mean, particularly, you try to take little things from, you know, each player is across the league on Sundays. I think different guys do things well. So I think you see, you know, the pump fakes of guys like Mahomes. I mean, he did one this past week against Chargers, a pump faking defenders, and getting them to jump and running around them. So just little things that you see from you know, quarterbacks across the league and things you try to take into your game. But, you know, particularly, I was a huge fan of Cam Newton growing up, so that was my favorite player as a Panthers fan. But I'm just trying to be, you know, Drake May out there and be as active as I can.
Time now for the quarterback question of the week, which is brought to you by Northeast Men's Health, the experts in treating men's health, sexual health, with 6 New England offices or at northeastmenshealth.com. Drake, you probably knew you were going to get something along these lines. We figured we'd let Joe in Lakeville ask you. He said, as a UNC alum, what was your reaction to the revelation that Bill Belichick has banned Patriots scouts from UNC practices?
Yeah, I mean, that really has not too much a deal for me. I think, you know, I'm welcome back. I was there this past summer, so no, I'm following him and cheering for him, pulling for him. But yeah, I think, I could. They need to. I check in on them and you know, watch their game. So just pulling for them, and regardless of the scouts, I mean, it's unfortunate for them. But like I said, it's Coach Belichick's program, so he does you know, what he needs, what he wants to do.
All right, Drake, we appreciate you joining us. Good luck next week in Miami. Hope we get a bounce back one.
Yes, sir. Sounds good. Thank you, guys.
Thanks, Drake. Talk to you next week. That is Drake May, the quarterback of your New England Patriots.
Jones and Keefe, WEEI, you hear that music, you know it's time for Rob Bradford. Baseball isn't boring, and WEEI.com. I saw there's some new swag from Baseball Isn't Boring, some new hats there, Keith.
Nice.
They pop.
They look, come in extra large.
They look real nice. Yeah, you're going to need it for that dome of yours over there. Yeah. Bradfoe brought to you by McFarland Energy, the heating, cooling, and bioheat delivery pros that Eastern Mass and all of Cape Cod depend on. McFarlandEnergy.com. What's up, Bradfoe?
Oh, my goodness. McFarland to you both. It's so good to talk to you. And if you want a hat, just message me and we'll make that happen.
Right, want a hat. Are you talking to us or are you talking to the listeners out there?
Yeah,
we want hats. Yeah, we're telling you right now.
Do I?
Yeah. No, you guys have to go through the formal process. I'm sorry.
Fair enough. Apply for a hat.
Yeah, so it is amazing that, you know, going through airports, sick brag, bro. I know.
Yeah, nice.
Going through airports, you wear that hat, man. It just sparks up the conversation about the great game of baseball.
Yeah, look.
I do have a question because I just get off the flight late last night. And if you have the middle seat, if you have the middle seat of a long plane ride, who gets the armrest?
I take both. If I'm in the middle
seat,
I take
you.
Both.
Yeah, you get those.
Yeah, it's survival. Okay.
You get those because the other guys get their ones, one to the right, one to the left. Yeah.
I think that's fair.
Spread your legs as wide as you can and put your both elbows on the arms.
And if you have your choice, what seat do you go for?
Window. Yeah. I used to be an aisle guy, but then I when people are like, oh, I got to go to the bathroom three times on a 2-hour flight. You're like, what?
I don't mind middle. I don't mind middle.
This explains a lot, by the way. I like both armrests.
You're middle, but you're not. Let's say you're with two strangers. You're not with like
I'm
your
not
wife
with
and
my
kid.
Family.
No.
Oh.
Yeah. Middle with two strangers is an outrageous
thing. Probably more window, but like with my family, I always fly in the middle seat. Doesn't bother
Dibs
me one bit.
Dibs on middle!
Yeah. Doesn't bother me one bit.
That is a psycho move.
That is the worst. That is maybe the worst take of all time.
All right. Well, you know what, Brad?
Jones' hottest take. Give me the middle seat on a plane.
They can't all be winners. No, no. All I know, I hope we're not let down by these hats. We've been promised hats before, so I hope we're not let down
you have?
By the hats. Yeah.
Not by you.
Not by you, Brad. We've been promised hats before, and we've been let down. Keith has a good conspiracy theory on Chapman. Not even conspiracy theory, but just take on Chapman. Maybe not as hot as the middle seat.
This is good, Brad.
Tell Brad for your take.
Yeah, I didn't want him going into the playoffs with like 100 consecutive scoreless innings.
Oh.
I thought it was good to sort of break this up a little bit.
What is this? This is like the Patriots season, right?
Well, so yes and no. I mean, the Patriots were chasing history. Chapman was just on like an unbelievable heater. He had given up runs earlier in the season, but it was just every time you saw him, they were like, hasn't given up a hit, hasn't given up a run. His ERA is under one. You're like, oh my God. Like, I just had fears of game one of the playoffs. Chapman's in there, and the announcers are going on and on and on about this streak, and then boom, he serves up a homer.
Yeah. I mean, I think that. First of all, there has to be a name for this theory, right? Mm-hmm. Because I've heard it before for different things, like you said, the Patriots. But Chapman, the biggest thing isn't fine if he goes on a run into the playoffs, but I'm with you, kind of. It was going to happen at some point. If it happens in the playoffs, it's the ultimate sad trombone. And you know how I know this, because you go back to last year, thou who shall not be named in the offices of the commissioner, Emmanuel Clase, I mean, I think he finished third in Cy Young.
He was nasty until he wasn't.
Keith's got the t-shirt jersey.
I got not a t-shirt jersey, a real jersey.
Oh, I'm sorry, real
jersey.
I
got jersey. It in Cleveland. Excuse me. The giveaway. Yeah, I was at a Cleveland game where that was like the pregame like giveaway. It's awesome.
Like, yeah, I don't think they're going to have another jersey. One of those. Yeah. So I'm just guessing.
Maybe I can return it for like a Jose Ramirez.
But, you know, people forget how unbelievable he was. I think he was like third in Cy Young or something like that. And then he was just awful, awful in the playoffs. So I think what you have to avoid with Chapman, and this is the obvious thing, is that you have to make sure that his stuff is still good. He mentioned after that game in Arizona, oh, my velocity was down. I had to figure out a different way to do it. Well, you got to find a way to get that velocity back. You have to find a way to make sure that he is right. And this goes with Crochet. This goes with all these pitchers. It becomes an area where it's the unknown, it's uncharted territory, really. I mean, we could talk about Crochet. I did an exercise the other day with comparing him to Zach Gallen on September 8th. Ah, they both compared to Zach Gallen.
Yeah. Yeah.
I love exercise. Yeah. I love innings total exercises. Yeah. 2023, Zach Gallen ended up pitching, I think, 243 innings. And on September 8th in 2023, he had the exact same number, almost the exact same number of pitches in innings that Crochet does now. My point is that if you are going to make a long run, there's a long way to go for all these guys. So you got to make sure they're right.
You ever work with Michael G, the Michael G theory? Is that what we should call it?
Ooh, Michael, no. Well, no, Michael Gee.
Oh, was it Gee?
Jones had a hard time with pronunciations. He was calling.
It's not Don Ace.
No, it's not Don Ace. Did you say Don Ace?
Yeah, I said Don Ace. Michael Gee? You ever work with him at the Herald?
Yeah, I remember Michael Gee. Yeah, sure.
We call it his theory. It was what we call that.
We don't have to.
The Keith corollary.
Yeah, Keith corollary.
To the Michael Gee
I do like the Keith corollary. Yes.
What's the plan with Peyton Tolley? They've started to load up on the fastball. He's gotten hit a little bit in the last couple of outings. Is he ideally for this team this year, not long term? This team this year, number four starter, high leverage bullpen guy. Is he on the playoff roster? What's the fit?
I think he's going to get another chance to start. I think they have. That's the plan going forward. That this was sort of not an aberration, but not what they're going to do. They're going to go forward and they're going to give him a start. And they're going to hope that he's good because they need him to start. This is, as we said before, this isn't a luxury item. That Peyton Tolley, they need to find a fourth starter. They need to find a fifth starter. And they need Peyton Tolley to be kind of good because they don't have a lot of other options. Now, Conley Early, great. unbelievable, awesome. But still, it's like we're putting cart before the horse a little bit if you think that he is the no-doubt-about-it guy. With same thing with Peyton Tolley. We've already seen this, that you're going to have to adjust. The first time out is different than the second time out. That Peyton Tolley thing in Arizona was the ultimate lesson for any young pitcher. Because Arizona, just talking to the Arizona people before the game and then after the game, they're like, we just cranked up the traject machine to 100 miles an hour, and we just sat on his fastball, and once we saw he couldn't throw his curve, then boom, we know we had him. Well, welcome to the major leagues, Peyton Tolley. That's not to say that he can't be good, and that's not to say he can't help even in the postseason, because I still think if he adjusted, if he is able to throw another pitch decently, he can be a very valuable, if nothing else, reliever. But you know, I think that it's to answer your question, there's still some ways to go to figure out who is actually going to contribute when they make the postseason.
Can you clarify something? Is Connelly Early eligible for the playoff roster?
Yes.
Yeah, I thought so too. We got multiple texts and messages saying they're like, oh, he got called up after the fact. So I thought so. So
no, you got to be part of the organization.
Okay. Oh, so like, so even Kyle Harrison, not that he would be on the postseason roster, but what did you make of Harrison's Red Sox debut yesterday?
Oh, it's good. I mean, the same thing. It's good. It's just, you know, you can't ignore the fact that, you know, that you get outs, you don't give up hits, you don't give up runs. And he's a guy who, I saw him in person a couple times down in Worcester, and you do notice, like, if fastball does jump, you see what they see in him. He does have major league experience. But I'll say it again. It seems like a short amount of time, a couple of weeks left of the season, but it's a long time in terms of figuring out exactly who is going to be hot, who is not going to be hot, who are you going to be able to rely on, and all of that. It is amazing, though, guys. Not only the Red Sox, how many teams are calling up these young players to say, all right, you know what, you're our savior. The Mets are doing it with three guys in their rotation. One guy that did live that life, if you remember, I know that you guys rode the ride of the 2015 New York Magical Mets. And Steven Matz, he actually did it. He was dropped in the middle of nowhere September. And
Harvey, DeGrom, Syndergaard, Wheeler.
And they started him? I don't remember that. They started him?
Yeah,
he
got put in the rotation in early September, made, I think, four starts. And then he started in the NLDS, the NLCS, and the World Series.
How about that?
Yeah, so there you go.
Same track.
Didn't happen.
So, bigger picture, when they're because I feel like Cora yesterday was talking about Harrison very differently than he was talking about Early and Tolley leading into their first outings with the team. Harrison's wasn't a start. Theirs were. So maybe I'm reading too much into that. Big picture, if they were going to power rank those three, like what they believe out of those guys, how would you rank them based on your discussions?
Oh, man. It's a cop-out, but you got to have to get to the end of the year, because we saw it with Peyton Tolley. We were screaming and yelling about how this guy was the savior, and then all of a sudden the last two starts, I don't think people are saying that. And conversely, I don't think you should rule him out as being really good in the postseason. So I know that everyone is like riding the Connelly Early bandwagon right now, but I want to see him pitch again. Like, I talked to a scout yesterday that said that, you know, that he really has to show that he can pitch inside. All right, well, you know, if he doesn't pitch inside in the next couple of times he pitches, then he's going to get hit like Tolley got hit. But I think in pure stuff, I think you still look at Peyton Tolley, and it's hard to ignore the pure stuff. I just feel like if he can just get that secondary pitch over the plate, then he could go on a pretty good run. So I'll go Tolley, Early, Harrison.
It's been seven games since Roman Anthony went down. The team is 3-4. Overall, how do you think the offense is going to be the rest of the way? And when also, I guess as an addition to that, Willier Abreu, how soon do you think we can see him?
Yeah, I think the Abreu thing's a little concerning, to answer that question first, where he just isn't able to, or hasn't been, just sprinting full out. Now he's running, and maybe they're slow playing it or whatever, but still, he is. I think I saw today that he had the best defensive rating of any right fielder in baseball. Like, we forget that. We forget how good this guy can be. So I think that the ideal is that you get him back. What do they got? They go to Tampa after this homestand. So maybe by then you get him going into the postseason. You don't want to rush. You don't want to. You guys know this.
Sure.
Tearing a calf muscle is never a good idea, right?
Right.
Coming back. So you don't want to do that. And so just if you could get him back by then, okay. In the meantime, the Yoshida thing, he's a lefty hitter. Like people say, well, why do you care so much about Yoshida? Well, he's a lefty hitter. They don't have a lot of lefty hitters. They don't have a lot of – and so he has to be pretty good. Romy Gonzalez, you can't have it take a turn for the worse in terms of whatever that – the banged up his knee. So these guys who have been a little bit up and down, you have to get the best of them. I think I said it to you guys before when Alex Bregman came out and just said, oh, we just got to keep doing what we've been doing. No, you got to be a little bit better. Everybody has to be a little bit better across the board. And I don't think they've done that enough during that, certainly in Arizona and certainly yesterday.
September, Red Sox, Yankees, there's always high stakes to it. It's always a big series. What are the stakes this weekend?
I think it's pretty big series because, that's a stupid statement. Of course, it's a big series. but it's, first of all, it's going to be great. It's nice to have a series like this on the weekend at Fenway Park. Yankees, you know, the Friday night thing is a good dynamic. So it's going to be great. But then the Red Sox have lined up their guys. They know how big a series it is. You know, for me, it's the home field is so huge in the way that the whole playoff system is set up. To get the home field is just everything, really is. It's so key. And they're very fortunate. They won the season series against the Yankees. But I will say this. When they came off the last series of the Yankees, everyone was crapping on the Yankees. Listen, the Yankees are as good as anybody. They are. They have flaws. They're just different flaws, but they're as good as anybody, and they could certainly win this series. So I just think you got to keep marching. And you look at the schedule for both these teams. It's not easy, but it's not that hard either. It's just, I think for the Red Sox, it's pretty simple. You can beat anybody left, and you can go on a run in the postseason. You just, once again, have to get the best version of these guys that you've been relying on who have been playing better than the back of their baseball cards for the majority of the season. And most importantly, you have to get the best versions of Crochet, Giolito, and Bayo.
Okay. He's Rob Bradford every Thursday here on Jones and Keefe. He's brought to you by McFarland Energy. Bradfo, we appreciate the time. We'll put in our formal requests for the Baseball Isn't Boring hats, and we'll talk to you next week.
And by the way, guys, I talked to Boris. I'll be writing that up today about Bregman. So stay tuned. Yeah,
Kennedy had kind of an interesting answer about that this morning when he was asked on Greg's show. He said they were all surprised by the Jeff Passan report that Bregman was going to opt out. So interesting. Okay.
I almost pulled a hamstring. You know how he sits down? It was in Anaheim, and he sits down in that pit behind home plate.
Yeah, and you can see him sometimes with the camera.
So if you're a reporter, you have to literally get on the ground to talk to him. And so I'm in like a catcher stance for a minute. I'm like, this isn't going to work.
No.
And then I go new school, one knee, right? Nice. So I'm one knee. And then I basically just sit on the ground.
I would have sat like Tony Pena back there. I would have the leg out. Like, this is what I'm doing.
All right, Brad Foe. We'll talk to you next week.
All right,
week.
Guys. I'll see you. Bye.
Good stuff from Brad Foe.
Good. I mean, he's putting in the work. I mean, you have to crouch down to talk to somebody. I don't think I would.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly you know what why people it's not, outside of Cleveland you know, think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, joining us on the phone lines now is ESPN's Adam Schefter. Schefter is brought to you by your New England Chevy dealers. Together, let's drive. Mr. Schefter, first of all, thanks for bumping back due to the Red Sox game. How are we doing this week?
Is the Red Sox win or lose? Did we bump me back for a good reason in the end or not?
No. Actually, no. They lost. Sorry.
Did not win yesterday, Adam. Nope.
But it's stuck to the regularly scheduled programming. That's the way it goes.
That's right. Adam, so around here, we're having a lot of seemingly big picture conversations. Can you bring a little perspective for us? Because we're talking about Drake May. Is he going to make it to year two? Does he work with Josh McDaniels? Does Mike Vrabel not like Josh McDaniels' offense and the play calling? Can you maybe convince us in some form or fashion, as you're wont to do, to just relax a little bit?
Well, I haven't heard any of the things that you just said to me. Again, everything I've heard is that Drake May is the quarterback of the future. They're really happy with him. Everything I've heard is that Mike and Josh get along well. What were the other points that you were concerned about?
Well, Mike didn't really love the game plan. Maybe they're getting too cute, not running the ball enough. Maybe sometimes just run the damn ball kind of thing, even down to play calling. All of that kind of fun stuff after a loss.
I also think that there's probably an adjustment process, too. It's 1 week. This is the first game that they've worked together. So it's sort of like any couple, if you will, that's getting together. Like, hey, I'd like to do more of this or less of that. And you figure out what works for each other. And, of course, in a game like that, where it doesn't go their way, of course people are going to have second thoughts and wish that things had been done different. And if they had come through and made a couple more plays to win the game, which they didn't, then the conversation would be entirely different. We'd be talking about whether they could be one of the sleeper teams or whatever it may be this afternoon. But that's not how it went. They lost. It was a home loss to a team that you would think that they would be able to beat that they didn't. And so now, inevitably, as this league works, whenever there's a loss, there are questions that come up. So we could discuss them, but I think it's more a function of 1 week, a loss, and let's see how it plays out.
So, Adam, another week, and yet looks like the Patriots will be without star cornerback Christian Gonzalez. And there seems to be a vacuum of information as to not only how he's doing, but exactly why this hamstring injury has lasted now seemingly over 6 weeks. Any intel that you've been able to garner as to how he's doing, what may have happened, and when we might see him again?
Nope, I don't have anything more than what you just said. I think that, hamstrings can take 6 weeks. Everyone's different. Obviously, you want the guy back out there, especially in a game like this. I know Miami really struggled. They had probably as disappointing a performance as there was in week one. Nobody was any worse. And you'd want Christian Gonzalez because inevitably they are kind of due where Tyreek Hill has now gone over one full calendar year without making a single play over 30 yards, and I'm sure they're very well aware of that. And I'm sure there's going to be something of an emphasis to go make that happen. So this week you'd want him, but I don't know if there was a setback or not. I'll have to ask around about that. But it's not ideal going into any matchup, obviously.
Hey, Adam, I'm just curious to get your thoughts on what you think about opening up the season with so many division games. I think there were 8 division games in week one. Six of the 8 finished within one score games. I liked it. I thought it was pretty cool, especially if you're going to get good games like you got in a lot of those division games. What are your thoughts, and what is the NFL's thinking by putting so many division games? A lot of people don't like it. I do. What's your thoughts on it?
Well, I always think that week one is one of the most unpredictable weeks, and all I have to do is go back to the year in which the Buffalo Bills blew out the Patriots in week one. So, I don't know whether you're on that team, Ted.
I was, 2003. 2003, actually. Yeah, Lawyer Malloy just went there, yep.
Exactly. 31-0 or 31-7. 31-7. There?
Yep, that's it.
Okay, well, so that in and of itself is a grade A example of how a season can be unpredictable and how a team can rally and overcome whatever happens in week one. And I think that goes all the time. And when you talk to these teams, it always feels like that first week really makes them uneasy. Like, just because there's so much that's unpredictable, you don't know what's going to happen. It's just difficult. And so the idea is to survive and move on. Some strange matchups. The league obviously knows that divisional matchups draw, so I guess they're trying to start the year with a bang, and then they always have divisional matchups at the end of the year. That's a given. But I think that obviously they prefer to do that in the beginning now, because that was odd. I don't remember the last time we've had that many divisional matchups to start the season like that.
ESPN's Adam Schefter here on WEEI Afternoons. Adam, over the last week plus, we've had this issue with Bill Belichick where the report came out that he had banned the scouts from North Carolina, and then rather than clarifying, he said, yeah, no, I'm not welcome there. They're not welcome here. Patriots have since said through a statement that he's welcome at Gillette Stadium anytime. What's your reaction, and what kind of reactions have you heard from the latest bad, ugly divorce here with Bill Belichick and the Patriots?
Just like a bad, ugly divorce is better off kept private and quiet. I think it's the same. Like, these are not things that should be coming out, and it's unfortunate for all sides that they are. You know, nobody's asked me, but I would just say, like, better to keep these things in house. And if you dislike somebody so much, let them know that. But to have some of that play out publicly, I don't think reflects well on anybody. It's not a good look for anybody at this point in time. And you know, with Bill in college, it's a different deal. You're trying to convince recruits, parents, to send children your way. I don't think it's great for parents who are involved in decisions to send their kids to school to see like little fights like this play out. Like it's not necessary in my mind. Just like it would be unnecessary for a couple that's gone through a divorce to hash out their differences in public after the fact. I'm not in favor of that either. So it's unfortunate. Like I said, I don't think it's good for anybody. And I'd like to think that they could address these things privately and keep everything in-house, but that doesn't seem to be the case so far.
Adam, obviously Monday following week one is overreaction Monday. And
every week.
Pretty much.
Every week. Yes. I know. You traffic with insight as much as you have to overreactions as well on the multiple programs.
By the way, today I was in New York City this morning, and I noticed they had a little prop on the desk right to the side of GetUp where there was a desk plate that, you know, that supposedly somebody puts in that. It said Mike Greenberg, professional overreactor. So there you go.
Brilliant. So I was curious your take, and if you've heard people, one of the big overreactions, I think, after week one, though I'm big on the Chargers this year, is that the Chiefs are dead and that this is the beginning of the end for Patrick Mahomes, Andy Reid, and the Chiefs as a force in the AFC.
I would never say that Patrick Mahomes, Andy Reid are dead in that division or conference. Never. Now, might they not be as powerful or as potent as they've been in other years? That's possible. That's still to be determined. Their defense looked shaky in week one against the Chargers. Their offense lacked explosiveness in week one against the Chargers. Maybe that had something to do with the fact that Xavier Worthy went out of the game on the third play, and they lost a lot of the speed and explosiveness that would have been there. That's probably key to why they looked the way they did. The defense on the back end looked shaky. Look, the standard for them has been so high, but as long as the team has Mahomes and Reed, and like, they're always going to be good. But I just think that everybody else has gotten better, so they're not standing out alone the way they might have in some other years. They're still a good team, and it's still early, and there's still work to do, and let's see how it plays out. I don't know that they are as dominant as they once were, but they're still one of the best teams in the league.
Adam, I'm going to go off the beaten path here real quick. And just, you know, there are a lot of fights in the stands. You saw an awful fight. Gosh, I forget which game it was. But there's been fights. You had Lamar. There you
Rams
go.
And Texans.
That's it. Yep, Rams-Texans game. And then, you know, Lamar Jackson, he's not being disciplined for shoving a Bills fan at, you know, but the Bills fan, you know, hits him in the helmet. Is the NFL concerned at all about fans getting in fights, or is this kind of – this is the way it's always been in stadiums, in NFL stadiums throughout the years. Is there anything there that the NFL's concerned about moving forward with the – just it feels like there's more fights than there's ever been?
You know, so that is off the beam path that you asked me that, and I'm glad you did. Mm-hmm. I'm glad you did, because I will say this, and maybe it's just the rise of social media, but I think over the last couple of years, I've seen these videos on social media of fights at games between fans, presumably intoxicated, and I can't believe what I see on an almost regular basis. So here we go with the start of the new year. I don't think it's as much an NFL issue as it is a societal issue, and the lack of respect that we all have for different people and opposing views and how we handle ourselves. It always amazes and nauseates me to see these fan videos. I will say also, like, I see them and I can't stop watching because I can't believe what I'm watching.
Yeah. Yeah,
like that. People, that adults, or young adults could do, like, what? Like, it's a football game. How do we get to the level? Just like you could say, it's politics. How do we get to the level that we want to resort to violence to try to silence the other side? In what universe is that acceptable? Where did that start? Where did the lack of respect for your fellow man begin? It's amazing to me. And by the way, you're asking about it in sports, but it's everywhere. Mm-hmm. It's everywhere. And honestly, it's disgraceful. Every time I see it, I just can't believe it. So anyway, there we go. I don't know what the league, you know, we want the league to be the moral police, like, grow up. You know, mature, like, be more responsible, be more thoughtful, be more like, I don't know, to see NFL's job. I know the NFL is powerful, but I mean, geez, it's incredible the way that some people behave at these games and in society. I mean, we see this every day on the news, every day. And I'm not just talking about yesterday. I'm talking about on trains. I'm talking about at schools. I'm talking about at political rallies. I'm talking about football games. What the hell are we doing?
There you go.
Yeah. Well, time now to get this week's Drake take from Adam Schefter, presented by your New England Chevy dealers. Together, let's drive. Adam, we've been having a lot of debates about young quarterbacks, obviously because of Drake May. It was about this time a year ago that Bryce Young got benched in Carolina, his second season. And that leads us to the question, what is the fair time frame or realistic time frame for evaluating young quarterbacks in terms of you need to start winning, you need to stop turning the ball over, or you're on thin ice as a quarterback?
Well, I think the timeline on all these things has been dramatically accelerated. I'm just telling you, I'm 58 years old, and I remember growing up, and I remember there being a conventional wisdom, right or wrong, that you needed 5 years to determine whether your quarterback was going to make it in the National Football League. And somewhere along the line, that 5 years was reduced to a year or two. And now it's to the point where we want these young quarterbacks on the field right away. If it's not in the first game, it's shortly thereafter. And I don't know what the right answer is to your question, how long it takes. But I can tell you that right away, you can see it or not see it. I don't care whether that's 17 games or one or two games. You can see whether a guy has it or doesn't have it. There'll be ups, there'll be downs. There'll be games where that guy shines or doesn't. I think we've seen that Drake May has it. I think we've seen that. Okay? And now it's time for them to develop him and for him to grow into the type of quarterback that he clearly has the talent to be. But your eyes can tell you right away whether the guy can play or not. And I think New England has its quarterback. Maybe I'll be proven wrong over time. But just like last year, you bring up Bryce Young. I remember watching those first couple of games. I'll never forget the first game last year. They're playing the New Orleans Saints. I was rushing to the airport. I'm watching the game on the Red Zone channel, and they flashed to a highlight of Bryce Young on the sideline after another interception, and he looked like a deer in the headlights who had no idea what was going on and looked lost and shaken and rattled. Like, that one picture told me everything I knew. Now, to their credit, they benched him, and he came back and rallied to be a good quarterback down the stretch and to give them hope that he could salvage his career and finish the year strong and turned around the entire perception about him and that franchise. Now, it was a shaky start to begin with, so we'll see. But I think with these quarterbacks, you see right away, like J.J. McCarthy, rough three quarters. And then he did what J.J. McCarthy has done throughout his entire football career. And he had three touchdowns in the fourth quarter, rallied them to win. That's what J.J. McCarthy's done. So I'm going to say that the chances are that that's what he's going to be. Like, the numbers might not be great, but he's going to find a way to get it done more often than not. And well, so, yeah.
I was just going to say we'd end on that unbiased take from a Michigan man about another Michigan man, right? That was totally unbiased football analysis. We appreciate you.
The guy's got, I think it's 64-3 record.
That's what he is.
Starting quarterback throughout college.
Yeah, not bad.
I don't think that.
Record speaks for itself.
All right, Adam, appreciate you joining us. We look forward to talking to you next week in your normally scheduled slot. Have a good weekend.
Thanks, Adam.
For the games this weekend, we'll talk next Wednesday.
Everything this young man brings to the table as the second-year quarterback.
And you really haven't seen him sit there and pat the ball. If he doesn't make a fast decision and get the ball out, he's either scrambling or getting rid of it.
Mm. Oh, Aaron pass, and it's picked. Isaac Polamau was right there for Las Vegas, and the Raiders with a takeaway.
A spirit right on cue. Max Crosby, inside pressure. May throws it up. Interception for the Raiders.
Spiro and Arch right on top of it, as usual yesterday.
Yep.
Patriots lose week one, 20-13 to the Raiders. Season opener, home opener at Gillette Stadium. We're talking about it all day long here on Jones and Keefe. We'll get to your phones, 617-779-7937. We'll also go around the NFL week one with what happened coming up at 11:30. So stay tuned for that. It's Patriots Monday here on WEEI. We talked to Hunter Henry in the first hour. You heard from Mike Vrabel this morning on Greg Hill. You'll get Drake May later on in the day on WEEI Afternoons. And we're joined right now by Christian Ellis. He's brought to you by Drains by James, Eastern Mass's top provider of drain and sewer cleaning and repair, and by Shaw's and Star Market. Go shopping, get rewarded. And by Verizon, the New England Patriots, powered by Verizon 5G. Christian Ellis, thanks for joining us here on Patriots Monday.
Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
Yesterday, it seemed like things were going pretty well. At halftime, you guys were leading. You were driving to start the second half. There was a turnover. Then the Raiders get in the end zone. What changed in the second half from your perspective?
I've seen, you know, at the end of the day, like, everyone has to do their job, me included. Like, I didn't start the game off well, and I feel like I had a few mental errors that I feel like I can fix. You know, and they did a really good job. They came out and they played well. We just have to keep doing what we're doing in the first half especially, and then, you know, we would be good.
Was it a lot of changes that you noticed from the Raiders' offense in the second half, or was it just you guys not being able to get stops?
Yeah, no, they came out and they made some plays. You know, obviously they made adjustments at the half. We made adjustments at the half, and it's just, you know, for me personally, it's just about, you know, getting the job done.
Harold Landry, your teammate, had a big debut with the Pats, 2.5 sacks. What'd you think of his first performance? A lot of us got to really watch him for the first time here in a Patriots uniform yesterday. What'd you think of his Pats debut?
Yeah, no, I think he's an amazing player, and I think he showed that yesterday. If you look at the film, he's all around. the ball, and he has a good knack for it. And then, you know, that's why he's here. That's why he plays at such a high level. Obviously, I'm proud of him, and he's going to keep doing good things for us this year.
What was it like in the locker room after the game?
You know, obviously, it still stings right now. It's never a good feeling because there's always a woulda, coulda, shoulda. What if I would have done this, or what if we would have done this, or, you know, there's always that. And then there's always the bitter reality that now we lost our first game, and, you know, now we got to move on, move forward. You know, luckily, we have this upcoming week, and we're going to start focusing in after getting these corrections, and we'll move on. And we'll just need leadership. We need guys to lead.
Are you somebody that's able to move on quickly after a loss, or does it sort of linger with you for a bit?
Yeah, no, if anything, it just drives the fuel to my fire. You know, I think there's definitely things I could have done in the game better. So I'm going to be extremely hard on myself and use that as a fuel. What can I do? What can I change? How can I get better as a man and as a player? So it fuels me.
You mentioned leadership. There's been a lot of turnover from last year's leadership to this year's. I mean, the captains are pretty much all different. How do you feel like it is this year? Like, what kind of hands is the team in with the new faces that are captains and leaders?
Yeah, no, our leaders are great. That's why I put an emphasis on it. Like, especially like for the defensive side, we got Spills, and then we had an honorary captain for the game, KC. Both guys are like, they're very vocal. They're very direct. They know what they want to see from all of us as their teammates. And then, you know, obviously it comes down from the head man himself. He sets a standard and we follow it. So when we don't do that in a game or in a moment, then we got to get set straight and then we move on. So I know we'll be on the right track, and I know that we have the guys in our building to do it.
What is it about Geno Smith that maybe we on the outside looking in weren't ready for? He had 327 against you guys last year in an overtime win. It was 362 yesterday. Why have you struggled with Geno in those two games?
You know, I don't like last year is last year. This year, I think, you know, from an LB perspective, I can help get in windows better. I can help rush the passer better. You know, Geno's a really good quarterback. He's a really good pocket passer. So if you aren't getting in his face, if we just let him have easy reads, don't disguise, you know, he's gonna do well. And I think he did do that. So me personally, I gotta make it harder for him. Gotta play lights out. Keep playing with effort. And then, you know, win at the end of the day, just win.
You know, when you get home yesterday, do you watch more football or do you got to get away from it?
I'm instantly in film. That's just who I am. I watched the game countless times. I woke up in the middle of the night, just rewatched it. Woke up a few times, rewatched it.
Oh, jeez.
It's hard for me to sleep after a loss. Yeah, no.
I didn't know if you would watch like Ravens Bills, for example, like pop that game on, which had a crazy finish. But you're talking about you'll go home and watch the game you just played. Oh,
no,
you'll
I'll watch my game. Gotcha. Yeah, no, I'll watch my game first and foremost. I got home and I was able to watch actually my brother's game, Broncos. Right. So I was excited to be able to watch him play. And then I did catch the end of the Ravens game, which was crazy.
Crazy, yeah.
So, but yeah.
So how, if you had to ballpark it, how many times have you already watched and rewatched the game yesterday?
Eight or nine times.
Eight or nine
Holy
times?
Smokes.
How much sleep did you get? I know you said
just
it was hard
defense?
To sleep.
You're doing defense only, yeah, or are you also watching your offense?
Yeah. Hey, I was watching defense.
Got it. Okay.
And
yeah, it speeds it up.
Makes
a little
sense.
Bit.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
So how much sleep would you say you got?
I didn't get much. I probably got like 3, maybe 4 hours. I kept waking up. It was eating at me. So I'm pretty fueled. I'm pretty pissed off. So we're good.
All right.
Okay. That's like me, Keith. I was tossing and turning after my fantasy loss last night. That makes sense.
You pop in a lot of the highlights.
We're very much the same in that regard. Well, Christian Ellis, good luck this week against the Miami Dolphins. I will talk to you next Patriots Monday.
Yeah, I appreciate you guys. Bye.
Thank you.
Christian Ellis, Patriots linebacker here every Patriots Monday on Jones and Keefe. 3 or 4 hours. Rest and recover. You got to rest and recover there. That's a big thing.
Yeah.
Eight or nine times. I did not go back and rewatch that one on the DVR this morning.
No.
I didn't feel compelled to rewatch it.
Speaking of, even during the game, I feel like not great with like replays. Like didn't I feel like, so Drake May throws the pick and they're like, commercial.
This is what happens
like,
when you
see
get
it again?
When you get the D squad.
Yeah,
this
no,
is what happens when you get Spiro Arch.
A lot of Spiro and Arch.
Spiro Arch and Aditi.
And Aditi.
I like to point out how often he says, I just say it to Kat now when I'm watching on the couch. Every time he says Arch, I just go Arch. She's
Arch.
Like, what are you talking?
Yeah.
She's like not paying attention. She's like, what are you talking about? I'm like, oh, he says Arch every other word, but Aditi's right behind. He says Aditi an awful lot, too.
All right, here's what we have to do. Yeah. If this goes sideways, and I'm not saying it will, it's only one loss.
Yeah, it might.
Do we go Patriots drinking game? And we every time they say Arch.
No, you cannot.
Down the hatch.
No, you can't.
Well, Arch had to remind himself who Jalen Hawkins was like 3 times. He's like, that was like a 5 second pause. That's
like
Jalen Hawkins.
Scrolling down the roster, 21, 21, 21.
Yeah, they can't find it. Can't find it. There he is out there.
Okay.
Old number 21. Getting it done.
That was rough indeed. If you missed any of Christian Ellis, use the rewind feature like he does, rewatching the games 8 or 9 times. It's on the Audacy app, Audacy. Get it on your phone. Free, easy. Take it with you wherever you go. You can
five
also
or six.
Seven or eight. Good call.
On the iHeartRadio. And tune in apps. Yeah, I think that's not something a lot of fans are wanting to do. How you feeling about Vrabel one game in, Keith? Because to me, my big takeaway.
Not great.
They don't look much different than last year's team. Last year, week 1, I get it.
You got
a lot
of pushback for that.
I did. Yeah. I mean, it's just my timeline. It's just, guys, it's 1 week.
Yeah.
How are you going to overreact to 1 week? I'm like, well, again, we had 0 games prior. I feel like we actually have something to react to.
That was actually last year. You did have him, 11-0 after
week 1? That's true.
Yeah,
so
he was riding high. Hey, listen, it's one game. We have one game to look at.
A lot can change. And I even said, I don't think he's Mayo.
You know what my trolley tweet was? But your tweet wasn't even trolley.
No,
your tweet was like how you really felt.
That's what they look like. Oh, is it looking at the QB class
next
year?
The best available quarterbacks for next year. People lost their minds, and I'm like,
I do kind of like Lenora Sellers.
I don't like any of those guys.
No, I like Sellers.
I'm giving Drake May another year. I'm not trying to draft Arch Manning. Like, no thanks.
Oh,
but I just thought it'd
be
funny.
Like,
he looks good against San Jose State.
San Jose State, they took those guys down. But I just thought it was funny to point that out. People are still responding to it now.
I'm just telling you, if this was a Mayo game last year, we go, oh, they're undisciplined. Oh, they're poorly coached. Oh, they turn it over again. Oh, they weren't ready to go. Oh, they didn't adjust in the second half. After the game, the coach came out and kind of threw the players and McDaniels under the bus. He had an interesting answer this morning about, the play calling and this and that. So I just feel like we'd be jumping down Mayo's throat about this.
Of course
I just
think
Vrabel should get the same treatment.
Yeah, but
Mayo technically started better.
He definitely started better. Got a big W over Joe Burrow, for God's sakes. Didn't get torched by Geno Smith. So it is a big difference. But this is where I guess I still remain hopeful, and maybe it's naive to be hopeful, but some of the stuff that even Mike Vrabel is talking about Drake May, like wanting to win, knowing how to win, and things like that, maybe that's what Vrabel can do. Like, Vrabel wasn't and never has been an offensive coordinator, but somebody like Ryan Tannehill, who usually is sort of like a punchline when it comes to quarterbacks, had really good seasons under Vrabel. And maybe just like the head coach teaching him how to be a football player, be aware of everything, clock management, like all these different things. Maybe that helped him get the best years out of his career. Maybe he can do the same thing with Drake May. He's not going to want to call him plays for him, but maybe just teaches him how to be like a real NFL player. And that's the hope that we have that he can turn into, you know, at some point, maybe a top 10 quarterback in the league someday.
Yeah. Right now, it's just a hope. I mean, you're going to hope he gets there, but it got off to a bad start yesterday. Bob is in Londonderry. Go ahead, Bob.
Hey, guys. Enjoy the show.
Thank you.
I have a different perspective a little bit, but granted, it's only the first game. Everybody's optimistic. I hang with a lot of people, and it's been going on now. They're starting to call them the New England excuses because that's all we do after is excuse after excuse after excuse, and even no matter how you look at it. What a boring, boring team to watch, not just because they're losing. There's absolutely no excitement. Watch some of the other teams in the league, and I'm getting tired of my 12-year-old nephew who keeps saying, Uncle Bob, if this quarterback is so good, how come he never wins? This has been going on forever.
Strong take.
Strong take by
the 12-year-old nephew.
The nephew.
Yeah.
But no, that was even my takeaway. It was 10-7. So you're like, all right, they're winning at halftime. But you're like, that was rough. And then at halftime, they start showing you all these highlights of all these other games. You're like, that's exciting. Oh, look at that. That's exciting.
You felt it yesterday. When you flipped to Red Zone, you're like, oh, stuff's happening in these other games.
Did you get caught in a commercial? They had 1 minute of commercials.
I did not see any commercials yesterday.
Yeah. There was a good graphic with Scott Hansen. It said lasted 1 minute. Like small, it was like commercials, and then it was like last in 1 minute.
You really felt it when you were flipping around, whether you were going to another game, whether you were flipping into Red Zone.
Team scored points yesterday. It just wasn't here.
Stuff is happening. Then you watch the Sunday night game like last night, you're like, oh, right. And I got to sit through what was a dreadful product yesterday. They didn't just lose. May wasn't just bad. Vrabel didn't have a terrible debut. It wasn't just those things. They also were boring on top of it. Which is, you know, if you're winning and boring, we'll tolerate. But when you lose and you're boring, that's a rough combo. 617-779-7937. We'll get to Steph Diggs and his Patriots debut coming up on the way next, right after Trending with Billy Lanny. We go around the NFL week one with what happened next.
True North convenience stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a great conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.